Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
The legal threshold of rat poo?
Yeah. In Chicago, you can only eat so much rat poo before it becomes illegal.
Yeah. I mean, that there is limits. Like, insect parts, I think you can... there's a percentage. It's like 3% per X amount of product in your food. You can have insect parts. Are they okay?
Human remains.
Human remains. I don't think they allow any percentage of.
You're almost at the legal limit for dog feces in your cereal, there, General Mills.
It's made of people.
Just
people.
Chill out, Dana. Cut back on the dog feces.
I'm really disappointed right now because I don't have an entire Saturday.
I know.
Coming up ahead of me right at this moment.
No, not an entire what?
Because we're recording.
We're recording at night because I'm going to Indianapolis this weekend.
Normally when I have to see your ugly mug, I get an entire Saturday
to wash it off,
to wash it away,
scrape your tongue. I'm going to the Indianapolis like comic book convention, not the Indianapolis Comic Con, but it's like a comic book convention. Yeah. It seems kind of cool. Seems kind of low key. I'm digging it. So, but it's for my anniversary with quotation marks. So
your comic book anniversary?
Yes. I know it was Anthony and Pat, or it was just Anthony actually, was just like, hey, you want to go to Indianapolis for a comic book convention? I'm like, okay, why are you guys going to Indianapolis for this? And he's like, Khal Drogo is going to be there. And I'm like, all right. I don't think I can. It's my anniversary. My wife was like, oh, we'll go down. You guys can go do your comic book thing, and then we'll just, you know, go out for later at night.
You mean
I'm like,
the one and only Jason Momoa?
Yeah. Aquaman. Come to me.
Billy West. That's pretty sweet, actually. Billy West isn't normally at conventions.
No, he's not.
That's kind of surprising that he's at, like, a Podunk one.
Well, who knows? They probably,
maybe he'd prefer it. Maybe he prefers it.
They have a lot of people, actually, there. It was kind of weird when I saw
it. I met Space Ghost.
Gary Cole?
Yeah, he licked his pinky and stuck it in my ear.
Ooh.
It was pretty awesome.
Did you talk about bees exploding?
It was unfortunate because I encountered him towards the end of the whole deal, so did not have enough money to make him record voicemails on my phone.
No,
it was like $50 or something.
$50 bones.
Yeah, 50 bones.
That's
he'll say whatever you want in any character's voice.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't have a good like Brack. I think he does the voice of Brack.
I don't know.
Like Brack is
impossible. Brack,
dude, that's terrible. It's impossible to impersonate Brack. No one.
But
can
I'm
do
like,
it.
Is it that Brack as opposed to like old Brack?
Yeah, no, the new Brack one is like mashed potatoes. Yeah, but like doing that impression is impossible. No one can do it except for the guy who does the Brack voice.
Yeah, I'm very well aware of that.
And you know that would be pretty cool to have on your phone. Like that's, you know, because they know it's not you doing a shitty impression because they're like that sounds exactly like Brack.
Oh, man.
There's no way possibly someone else doing the impression.
This is at least 12 times the grade that Joe can do.
this is true, Brad.
This is true. All right, let's get into some gaming stuff.
Warriors.
We're recording a little early, so I'm a little earlier in the week, so I'm a little thrown off by this. I usually like plan most like Friday to like this is the stuff I want to talk about, and today I was just like fuck.
All that matters right now is force of will.
Force of will, yeah. Force of will is huge. So I was at the local gaming store, and I was sitting there buying my crap, and these like six like teenage girls come in, and I'm like, wait, this isn't right to begin with. They're probably lost or some kind. They think they're gonna come in here and buy some Pokemons, but they were like, and then the guy behind the counter was like, oh, you guys are back already? And they're like, yeah, we wanted to pick up more of that game. And he's like, what one was it again? And they're like, and I'm like, Force of Will? And they're like, yeah! And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah, well, especially among 16-year-old girls, apparently.
That could only be a plus. Unfortunately, that means there's going to be lots of fedora tipping moments.
M'lady.
You could see lots of m'ladies coming up. Oh, God.
It was really bizarre because I was like, I just talked about this game.
Yeah, it's huge. It's appealing to a lot of people. It's got the thing that's really good about it.
Didn't the guy who did like Hex or something say like it's the game I wanted to make?
That's me. I said like Force Will is the game that I wanted Hex to be.
Ah, okay, that's
what I was like.
Okay.
I wanted everything I was hearing about Hex. I'm like, yes, this is what I want. And then when Hex came out, I'm like, this is fucking Magic. This isn't the game I wanted.
And then all of a sudden, it's like
I didn't want a better Magic Online. Yeah. I wanted a better game, an improved game. And that was not Hex, but that is Force of Will.
Until WotC stomps its big stubby hands on it.
No, can't.
Well, that's what you say. It doesn't mean that WotC won't try.
They won't.
They're like
they're specifically going after Hex. Like WotC isn't super litigious. They've sued a few people here and there, but they're specifically going after Hex because one, their patents expired on Magic. Like they no longer have it. It's gone. But two. Ooh, sorry. I thought I was going to have a big...
What the hell was that?
I felt like a giant burp welling up.
Did you just throw up a little in your mouth?
No, I felt a giant burp welling up.
We're not
even
talking about Games Workshop yet. Yeah.
I felt a giant burp welling up, and like I felt it go all the way up, so I was going to burp into the microphone, and then it just disappeared.
That's weird.
The feeling didn't go back. That was fucking terrifying.
It's like when you drop a mini part on the floor and it just disappears. And you're like, where'd it go? This is physically impossible.
The Necron head. Because Necrons, they only gave you enough heads exactly for the fucking unit.
Yeah.
And I was building models with Joe Hammer. And all my Necrons are assembled. And like the last guy, I'm like, wait a minute. Where's the head? And we're like, I'm looking around at this head for like fucking 45 minutes. I'm fucking tilting because like I can't get another fucking head. We go outside, have a smoke break, come back. It's fucking in between a Bestigor's legs that Joe was working on.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was fucking weird.
You can't find shit like
that.
And
like it didn't fly off because like that was the thing that was so weird is because you know when a part goes flying.
Oh yeah, because you go, it's lost.
Yeah, and it goes like, pew! It like flies off and you see it. But that was the thing. I didn't notice a part fly. Joe didn't notice a part fly. And usually you hear the ding, 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 ding when it's going around on the floor.
Yeah.
Nothing. It just, this fucking Bestigor animated, came to life, rolled over to my sprue, took the head off. Yeah, took the fucking Necron head and threw it on his base.
There was where I do my little modeling, it's hardwood floor in my basement. And so it's like, if a model piece falls, I hear it goes, tink, 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 and then it's like, it's gone. So what I did was I got a piece, a small area rug to put right by there. So if I drop a piece, it'll land on the rug and thinking that physics, like model physics would work like that, the piece would just hit the rug and stop. But no, sir.
It'll
no.
actually sink into the rug and vanish.
The shag of the rug just goes up and is like,
yep. It's like, thank you for feeding me, master.
Part for the mini gods.
So Wizards is suing Hex because it's online and it's competing with something that Wizards has zero competition with. Like, they're not concerned about other card, like physical card games, because they're not competition.
No.
They're not. Like, they're all competing against each other, not against Magic.
Yeah, Force of Will doesn't seem like it's a Magic killer in any way, shape, or form.
There is no such thing as a Magic killer.
Yes.
The only way that Magic...
Except for that class that I believe is in Dungeons & Dragons that kind of negates Magic. that doesn't kill Magic, it just negates it.
But the only thing that could actually, like, make Magic fall is, like... two straight, many straight years of bad releases, which is not looking like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
Magic, it's so entrenched, it's so big, it's so easy to get into and out of.
Is it really that easy to get out of?
It is.
Easier or harder than heroin?
I think like the Magic like addict thing, that's kind of like a new player thing. Because I remember like when I was new in card games, I've played every CCG that's ever existed, pretty much. There's a few I haven't.
My Little Pony.
I have not. I played the My Little Pony game, but not as a player. I learned the game.
Yes.
So it's awful, by the way. It's really bad.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes,
card game.
I had that. I had the entire set, and I made my own cards for it as well.
That game was amazing.
I made Sir Butts a lot. I drew a knight, and I put a butt in his fucking face. I was really highbrow.
One of the best card games I've only played like a few. I've played Magic. Don't really remember how to play it. I played that. I played the Decipher, Star Wars, and I've played some L5R.
Yes. L5R is actually one of the games I never played as a player. Nice. I've seen it played and like I ran through a demo, but I guess they changed a lot of the rules in the new edition and like players quit it in droves.
This was like years ago.
So
Back when Cypher Comics was in Naperville.
Never meet my Scorpion political deck.
Like, whoa!
The Force of Will is just, it's huge, it's popular, and the reason it's so big is because it's got notes of so many games that are popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's little bits of everything. People are like, wow, that game, you know, that reminds me of something I like about this game, but also has all this. Like, it's really cool. So it's deeper than, like, Cardfight Vanguard.
Yeah, it's deeper.
It's
taking it deeper.
It's got the It's got the thousands increments.
Tricking it to the tree. Getting so much candy. Tricking it to the treats.
The other things it has that really work in its favor. One, it's actually very relatable immediately. Like Cardfight Vanguard, only really relatable if you're into, like, you know, anime or, like, you know, Japanese stuff, because it's very. There's, like, only a few things that are, you know, immediately have, like, that resonance with people. Like, there's giant robos, so if you were into, like, Voltron, Power Rangers, there's that thing. You
do
can
the Voltron
that.
Song. Do the Voltron song.
Unfortunately, I can't do the Optimus Prime voice to introduce Voltron.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
There it was. Well, no, it was the dude who does Optimus Prime. He was the narrator for Voltron. It has super recognizable characters too, like the Wizard of Oz. One of the decks in the game is fucking Wizard of Oz. It's got Oz, Cowardly Lion, Dorothy, Tin Man. Then there's also Alice in Wonderland, March Hare, Cheshire Cat, etc., etc.
Yeah, I think
in the next set there's a literal Jesus card.
Is it called literal Jesus?
It's not called literal Jesus. It's called the true Messiah Savior or something.
Damn it!
It's a picture of Jesus, fucking Jesus. Like,
Jesus fucking Jesus?
Yes, it's Jesus fucking Jesus.
Nice.
Doing the, like, holy pose, the holy pose with, like, the halo and shit. One of the new rulers is Cain. It's pretty fucking awesome. I was like, this is really cool.
This seems like the type that's gonna be around for a few releases. Then it'll probably get something shitty, and then you'll be like, I hate this game. I'm very upset.
I don't know. I've been playing Vanguard since pretty much it started, and, like, I've liked everything about that. It's hard to balance a game in the right ways. But Force Will seems very good. Obviously, who knows? You know, who knows what the future holds. But their collation is one of the strongest things about the game. Like, so one of the worst parts about collectible games, I'll just use Magic. You got a set that comes out that's like 236 cards. And because of the ratios, you get one rare per pack, three uncommons, seven commons, and then, like, your land or whatever the fuck. The cards that matter are the rares and the mythic rares. Now, mythic rares in Magic only come, like, one every six packs, give or take. Sometimes you get more, sometimes you get less. So collecting, like, if you buy two boxes of Magic cards, you might be lucky to get two of the same mythic if you're very, very lucky. And rares become hard to find too. Just the way it is. The set's big. Most of the cards you're getting are common and uncommon. With Force of Will, the cards are, it's a 105 card set. And they are generous as fuck with their rares. So, like, in Magic, a dual land is a rare. You know, Mythic, they take the same slot. In Force of Will, if you open a dual land, it takes the slot of your common land. If you open a super rare, it takes the slot of a common. So you can actually open a pack of Force of Will in your box that has a dual land, a super rare, and a rare. They're the same ratios, super rares and mythic. So, like, opening the boxes, like, you get a bunch of shit, like, a ton. I calculated out for a 105 card set, if you buy three boxes, if you're lucky, you'll get four of every card in the set. If you're unlucky, you might be missing a few here and there, but hopefully the extras you gain from the other will let you trade for it. Also, they have god packs. They have two styles. One, open it up, all of the cards are just dual lands. Instead of having a normal pack, and the other is the entire pack is super rares.
Oh, wow.
Kevin actually opened one when we were ripping the sets.
Was he like, oh my god,
he was like, oh, I like this pack. He didn't know that was a thing when we were opening it. It's really cool. The game's super fun. I'm having a good time with it right now. The only problem is fucking product, because it's sold out fucking everywhere.
Yeah,
and everyone is fucking screaming for more.
At the local game store, it was also out when those girls were coming to get it, and I was just like, oh, okay, 16-year-old girls getting disappointed, can't get the Force of Will.
Gotta have Force of Will, yo.
Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of the local game store, the Games Plus auction was this weekend, and I usually like to give my state of the hobby address whenever the auction comes around. The mini auction was not up to par that it usually is.
was it all half painted Space Marines?
It was all like just so much 40K. So much 40K, which is okay.
Well, they got to get rid of their models because they got to buy the new ones for the new bases.
Have you seen the little base?
Dude, put it on Andrew.
Yeah,
Andrew
saw that.
Curl,
yeah, yeah.
I think I can't pronounce any of our fucking Facebook like guys' names except for like James Brandit.
Just call him by the first name, and the last name is Shapoopy.
Shapoopy.
Yeah. So Shapoopy. Anthony Shapoopy. Shapoopy.
Very good.
When a girl... No, never mind. I'm not going to start singing Chipoopy. So, yeah, because Games Workshop decided that in order to make more money, they decided that they're going to sell 30 mil bases on their models and make everybody rebase all their figures. So...
So is everything 30 mil or is it just Space Marines?
Just Space Marines. But that's all anyone plays, okay, so what does it matter? Except for those guys like, I play the Tau.
I like the Tau. But I usually find that mostly at tournaments you have, like, all Space Marines, like, one Imp Guard guy who's like, tanks are cool, and then, like, an Eldar guy who's very frustrated with his Eldar army.
That's not how it goes!
Yeah, that's the tournament. There's 10 guys, and there's fucking 8 Space Marines, the one Imp Guard dude who's like, yay, tanks! And then you got the Eldar guy who's like, fucking stupid Space Marines are broken!
It's not much for an Eldar army, but yeah, so the Space Marines, and so now instead of the 25 mil rounds, this clever company decided to make these little like add-ons that you could buy.
You just click them on.
Click them on and makes your base 30 mil.
It's pretty funny.
I don't see it being that big of a deal to having to rip your Space Marines off your unpainted base and stick your shitty ass paint job onto a 30 mil base.
I wish the Tau had rounded corners on their mechs. Just saying.
I wish 40K was a better game.
I have not played 40K in forever. I've not touched a Games Workshop product.
Are you about to say something good about Games Workshop?
It's hearsay.
Hearsay?
Yeah.
Heresy, sir.
One of my game store owner customers, he was telling me about how much 40K is like... This is gonna like make people angry. So
I'm
excited.
Are they gonna put him on tilt?
It might, maybe.
Wait. Go ahead.
All right. So he is one of the better War Machine players around. He won... some fucking big tournament. I don't remember what it was. But like, he's good. He's very good. He plays with the guy who's like pretty much unarguably the best War Machine player in the state or in the United States.
In the Tri-County area?
In the United States. Like the dude who's been playing the same Legion of Everblight list since Mark II came out and winning all the tournaments with it. Like it's the same list. He's not updated. He's barely
can't
changed.
Can't wait to see that medal pinned onto his chest. Anyway, so, continue.
So he plays that guy a lot. Like he's very good at War Machine, and he stopped playing War Machine and he's now currently playing 40K. And he told me that it is more likely that you'll be diced in a game of War Machine than you'll be diced in a game of 40K.
Really?
Yeah. He says that 40K is much more about the tactics now, with the new books in addition. I can't speak to the veracity of said claim, but he did mention something that I thought was really good, which is apparently objectives are scored each round now. So like holding up, like you can tally your points while you're playing. So like you know who's like what the state of the game is other than just models dead on the board. You'd be like, I have 15 points. So that sounded good. It's not anything. There's no possible way it's good enough to get me into 40K.
No.
But I do. Hearing a positive thing from a player is so unusual. I was like someone whose opinion I generally respect.
I think that's what it is. It has to be someone's opinion who you respect. I mean, trust me, there's a lot of guys' opinions that I respect, but they talked about 40K, and I'm like, you guys have been drinking the Kool-Aid way too fucking long to say anything bad about 40K.
This is someone who he joined me in chortling at 40K's boners most of the time.
Did you have a sensible chuckle with him?
We did. Yeah, we were like,
Stormtailing.
That's humorous. But yeah, so we talked about that. And like we talked about how Colossals kind of broke War Machine and like made it a less fun game. It was interesting. So I was like, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like I was talking about this yesterday because I went out for our buddy Dave's birthday. We were sitting around talking about.
I sent him a cute little picture of a hamster with a cake.
Nice. I made him a little Russian tank. The
Nostrovia.
Nostrovia. Yeah, we're going through Rasputina out here right now with all the snow melting. So
it's true. Soon the mad monk will come crashing into all of our doors, delivering us our chocolate.
Yes. And you have a...
I hope he gives me a Cadbury cream egg.
Well, hopefully you'll have your blintzes made for him.
Oh, he'll get a blintz.
So, mad monk, quick, give him a blintz. Weird traditions. Yeah, we were talking about... Because we were talking about Infinity, and I was like, well, Infinity to me seems like the game that people who got... Who got fed up with 40K, went to War Machine, got fed up with War Machine, then went to Infinity. That's kind of feel like the progression goes on that.
Yeah, it's weird because 40K or because War Machine and Hordes are getting so much bigger, like use of models, yeah. The points are growing so much. It almost seems like if you get into if you get into War Machine Hordes, unless you're looking for the smaller scale game, which as you know I very much prefer. You probably wouldn't get into War Machine anymore. You'd probably go straight from 40K to Infinity or Malifaux
saying it's like the people who got out of 40K
and don't like that it's getting bigger.
Yeah, went to War Machine Horse. They're like, this game is great. They're not Games Workshop, right? Isn't it great that we're not playing a Games Workshop game? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, they're Games Workshop. Quick, let's go. They're Games Workshop, but they treat people a little bit better.
Their pricing structure is a little more like reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's reasonable. Like, you can understand, like, everything is not like Games Workshop. It's like, no, this box costs $85. Why? Because we said so,
right.
Damn,
like,
it.
That's the biggest, the most telling difference is you see a giant fucking 40K model and it's like, it's $120. And you're like, okay, this thing's $120. How many do I need in my army? Ah, four.
Four of them.
Yeah, you need four. Minimum four for competitive sake. But like, War Machine is like, this model costs $125. How many do I need? One forever, unless you're weird.
Unless you're weird.
All right, because you can use more than one, but like, there's no real reason to.
But so anyway, back to the auction. Yeah, it's fine. The mini auction, it's just like normally, like, you could go there and you're like, ooh, look at that box set. That box set is something rare. That'll be interesting. Maybe I should bid on that. Or you find
the classic GW sets and stuff.
Yes, you know, you find some diamonds in the rough, like
Mordheim.
Maybe not that much, but you might find like a bag of Mordheim figures that like someone had like. And it just says, like, bag of metal figures. And you're like, oh, those are fucking Mordheim figures. And then they bring it up there and they're like, we got a bag of metal figures, 28mm, unpainted, or they're painted to a poor scale. And you're like, I fucking know what that is. That's some fucking Mordheim figures. And you bid on it, and you get it for like $6, and you're like, fuck yeah, I got Mordheim figures. But no, none of that stuff. You want to know what the best find I probably in there was a box full of Foundry Miniatures, the British company, a box of Italian pikemen. Now, you'd be like, that's really stupid, but the only reason why I know that's a good buy, because that box of models probably would cost like $300 to get from England. So I know that whatever price you paid for it at the store would not be anywhere near it. Not that I would buy it, because I don't need Italian pikemen, but I'm just like, oh, that's a
Are
good
you
fucking
sure
deal.
You don't need Italian pikemen?
No, I have a Dogs of War army already. Are you kidding me? I don't need any of that bullshit.
You still have fantasy stuff?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I got rid of all the 40K.
You got rid of the squats?
No, squats aren't in 40K anymore.
You didn't
it's
get
okay.
rid of 40K.
No, squats aren't in 40K. I could justify it that way.
You just have to keep like lying to yourself. I imagine you see a squat out of the corner of your eye as you're walking like upstairs or something, and you look at it and one tear rolls down your cheek and you walk away. Keep going.
Who was that? I think it was it might have been the Dan Delanois who was telling me about like how I need to sell my cast dwarves. He's like, you should sell them now, you'll get like millions of dollars. I'm like, can't do it. I just can't
Why?
Do it. I don't know. I have a sickness. I have boxes of Clan War figures.
That's true. You do have a Clan War figure, so
I do it.
Clan War figure. Not counting that you have many, the fact you own a Clan War figure shows you have a huge problem.
It's not even many. I own boxes. Boxes of Clan War. I have so much confrontation stuff at home. I will never paint it all. I don't paint it right now. I paint like one figure every like 4 weeks as a palette cleanser. I'm like, I'm going to paint this Celt Barbarian. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, summer's coming up. I'm going to try and get back into the hobby groove, doing some painting, building.
Get some Dark Age.
Dark Age, and I want to finally finish my fucking Kings of War army.
Kings of War.
That's been like, it's been at the like point of almost completion for a very long time. And I think for me, if I get to that like... I'll have this like point where I'm so close to being done and I set it down and I don't come back to it for like 2 weeks because I'm taking a break or whatever. And I look back at it and I'm like, whoa, this is so close to being finished. I should just stop and fucking do it. And then I just in my head, I create this like huge amount of work and pressure because it's like so close to being done. I'm just like, but it's actually not really close to being done. It's like there's so much shit left to do. Like I have to paint this entire unit, even though it's the only unit left in the army. Like I have to paint this whole unit and I have to base everything. It's like I'm trying to put off like basing the figures, and then it's just I don't know what happens. I have to be in this like to paint regiments. I have to be in a very specific mood because fuck, man. And you know what did it? Commission painting armies.
Yeah,
that fucking killed
when
me.
When I stopped doing that, my painting increased like 20-fold. Yeah, let's move on. Let's get some Kickstarters. We haven't talked about Kickstarters in a long time.
Fucking Kickstarters.
Super Dungeon Explorer shipping next week. I'm kind of excited about that. I'm finally going to get that, which would be just in time for me to see the Super Dungeon Explorer guys at Adepticon. Nice. And be like, where the fuck's my models, man?
Fucking harass vendor badge.
Vendor badge, where's my figures? Where's my models, man?
I want the fucking battling system.
Oh, the one-on-one, the 1v1?
The versing,
I guarantee you, if you go, I don't know if you're, are you going to Adepticon next weekend?
Yeah.
You should. It's up in Scumberg. Yeah. You'll love it. You could go to Scumberg, eat some Joe's Crab Shack.
If I have some extra money to blow on Dark Age figures, yes.
Oh, yeah, they're always there.
Because they're always there. And the dude's fucking, he's the king of deals.
And the place is, at least it's going to be bigger than where it was last year. So hopefully they'll have a bigger sales floor than last year. Because last year it was like, this is not appropriate for this size gaming convention.
One Gen Con, I think I blew about like, $200 to $300 on Dark Age stuff because I was buying stuff for other people because I'm like, hey, I'm going. There's gonna be Dark Age stuff there. Do you want it? And they're like, yeah, here's the list. And the dude gave me pretty much $300 worth of free shit on top of the $300 I spent. And I was just like, this seems like a pretty good deal. I'll take it.
maybe you can like, if the guys who do Drop Zone Commander, if you see Steve wandering around, you just nab him. Yeah. Just give him a deal. Like, it doesn't even have to be that sweet of a deal. Like, you can hook Steve pretty quick. It's like, all right.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
It's like, but we'll give you a free figure.
No, it's like, we'll give you a free little mini army. And I'm like, cool. Little do I know it's the most expensive faction and you need like 30 boxes of it.
They just released some new stuff for that game too. Yeah, just new figure.
It's super cool, but I just can't.
It's just getting into another game. All right, so some Kickstarter stuff coming up. So are you excited to play the Thunderbirds board game?
No, I'm not. I did watch Thunderbirds when I was a little kid. I thought it was kind of weird, but I mean, I liked it because I was little.
No, I never liked it even as a kid. My dad was like, don't you want to watch Thunderbirds? Because I guess my dad watched it when he was a kid. And I was like, all right. So I watched it. And I'm like, Dad, this is dumb. This is really dumb.
And I liked the puppets.
What nation of morons watches this? He's like, the UK. I'm like, are they starved for attention? Do they starve for any sort of entertainment?
Clearly.
Take that, UK listeners.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
This game looks terrible, too. Have you seen this?
Yeah, it looks like shit. It's like a fucking pile.
But what are you gonna do? You gotta get the there's also an RPG stretch goal for it. So you could not only play the board game, but you could play the Thunderbirds mini game. I can't really show this right now because we're on the radio, but I would just like to do the RPG like this, pretend I'm a puppet and just walk around like this.
I have to interrupt you and run this by you. Look at this fucking text message that Pat just sent me.
What's
it's a fucking novel.
What's he talking about?
I didn't. Okay. He's talking about Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah. Pac Rim, as it's called to those in the know.
Yes.
Well, anyway, stupid Pat. By the way, this week's episode of Game Classy is brought to you by C2E2, Chicago's premier comic book, Chicago's Comic Book Entertainment Expo.
All right. Here we go. I'm gonna roll this out. This is Pat B. What time is it? It's time for that. What time is it?
It's time to troll Pat.
All right, so Pat B's text.
Pat, star of Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, also known as Patcast, a.k.a. Play On.
And yeah, retro game. I'm watching Pacific Rim for the first time. These giant robots are pretty weak. If the hull is breached, say with water, the pilots drown in the cockpit. Also, they box with the monsters and throw them around in water. Ever been thrown around in a pool? It's pretty fun. Sparring seems dumb. Why not fire more explosive projectiles at them? Why not have large snares so that a robot can fire to tangle the monsters up to slow them down?
Why all the neuro shit and drifting crap? I understand the movie explains it, but it seems pointless. If the pilots are already great fighters, then why all the neuro bonding and compatibility requirements for pilots? The action is great, but this movie is Top Gun and Flight of the Intruder rolled into one with robots and monsters. Why does the civilian population still live in traditional cities with skyscrapers? Why not build large fortified structures with some defenses so all the collateral damage is minimized? I know it's a movie, but large, easily destructible robots and a large wall is what the world agrees on as the best way to go about fighting the monsters. So I'm going to text him back right now.
Now, why don't you just answer him right here on the podcast so that he can...
I'm going to do it simultaneously.
No, don't do it. So that way he'll have to listen to the podcast. Just text him and say, listen to the podcast this weekend to find out.
No.
Oh, come on.
No, that's not as fun. All right. So, here. This kind of logic works in King of the Monsters. Professional wrestling with monsters for a real line of defense? No, sir. I can't get on board. All right. I'm texting him this. Giant robots are... fucking cool. Or no, sweet. Or fucking sweet. That's what I texted him. is that your RPG Thunderbirds character?
Yes.
I just texted him giant robots are fucking sweet. That's it.
Nice. That's the only appropriate response to that.
Yeah. Okay. I think Pat, you're overthinking Pacific Rim a little too much.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Also, okay, so Kickstarter stuff. Ghostbusters is over. Ghostbusters, they made like 1.5. The female Ghostbuster models they put out were pretty sweet looking.
The ones from New Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
From Ghostbusters Extreme?
Yeah, the wheelchair guy.
Yeah, they didn't do the wheelchair guy. No, they snubbed him. Yeah. They snubbed the wheelchair guy. They did everyone except for the wheelchair guy. They did the rookie, the guy from the fucking Ghostbusters video game, but not the wheelchair guy. Man.
Wheels? Was that his name? Wheels?
His name was not Wheels. I think it was like Malcolm. He had a regular name.
he didn't have a wheelchair appropriate name.
Wheelchair appropriate.
Like Skids or Wheels.
Wheels is the fucking Burger King mascot kid who's in the fucking wheelchair. Oh my.
Brakes? Was his name Brakes? Brakes.
God damn it.
I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
Myth also has a new Kickstarter out.
Yeah, they have. It's for two expansions.
Yeah, two little expansions out there. It's kind of expensive. $60 for the two of them. I mean, it's not bad, but whatever. It's Myth. It's a pretty solid game. The rules are apparently somewhat nonsensical, but they're the Kickstarter is also a part of the second edition of the rulebook as well. Who was complaining about the rulebook for Myth? I remember
a bunch of people were. Yeah. Pretty much everyone.
Yeah, it's not
it's pretty much everybody.
Not an easy to understand game, but the models were cool and the figure it's the guys who do Mercs, so maybe we'll get a run through or a preview at Adepticon next week. Because they're usually there as well. I don't know if it's necessarily the guys or the MegaCon guys, but I know someone is there usually hocking some Myth and some
trying some to sell Merc their Mercs. Stuff.
Starting to get some Mercs.
Mercs is still the easiest miniatures game to get into and upkeep forever.
Yeah, I mean,
buy a box, done. Yeah. You even get more than you can use. That was weird.
Yeah. Is it a ghost?
Maybe it could be a spooky ghost. It's the ghost of Terry Pratchett.
It's the ghost of Wheels, the Ghostbuster.
It's the ghost of Terry Pratchett, yo.
I was never a Terry Pratchett fan to begin with.
I played the Discworld game for PlayStation. Yeah. I really liked it.
Did you?
I never got into it beyond that. I didn't actually know it was anything other than a video game until much, much later.
I read a couple of the Discworld books. I mean, they're good. I read Good Omens, but I can't... Like, you could tell on that book what's Neil Gaiman, what's Terry Pratchett. I mean, he's a very prolific writer, and people really like him, so I will not say anything bad about him. I don't have anything to say bad about
him. Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about him. Like I said, I played Discworld on PlayStation 1, and I really liked it. We need to get zany sound effects and like music transitions for this podcast. I was listening to a podcast that was 45 minutes long, and they had like a long musical interlude in the middle of it, and I was like, "This is fucking dumb," and I turned it off.
It's like the guys who are always complaining, like, "Bring back the old theme song." I'm like, first of all, we haven't had that in like 60 episodes, and second of all,
that's awesome though because they're diehards.
Well, it was like it's like a 3-minute introductory song, and it's terrible. I did it like
lasers and tanks.
Oh my star.
Oh my stars.
Yeah, it's like
it's good stuff.
Yeah, I was like mixing in all of like the music and everything like that. I'm like, it's so bad. It's so like whatever.
Just have Daft Punk edit us up a intro.
That'd be really sweet.
It would be sweet. They would be, I got in.
They'd be like, what is this podcast about?
No, they wouldn't talk.
No, they wouldn't.
No, we'd be like,
they'd just look at us.
We'd be like, we have a podcast. Can you do a theme song? And they would just touch your recording device, and it would be there.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God, Tron 3's on here as well.
Sick.
Yeah.
And it'll just be the theme song. Will just be the fucking Jeff Bridges song from the soundtrack.
As much as I thought Tron 2 was okay, that soundtrack is fucking amazing. I still love that soundtrack.
I think that movie is good, and I really like the soundtrack.
I think the movie it's serviceable. It's nothing fancy, and in that sense, I mean it's no waiting for Godot, but
waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman. I could have said
Stool Boom.
That's
a pretty out there reference.
There's a scene in there. It's a throwaway line where they're talking about the setup for it, and they got a model of the school, and the guy's like, "We're gonna need snipers here, here, and here." That's a line I throw out on a regular basis. Like whenever I walk into a building, I'm like, "We're gonna need snipers here, here, and here." We went and played the iCombat laser tag the other day. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Nope.
It's in Aurora, Illinois.
Live in Aurora, Illinois.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
From Wayne's World, people. Right across from the casino. But it's laser tag, but you actually have, like, police training weapons that have lasers attached. Like,
really?
They're modded out with, like,
so it's very fancy.
It is. It's like you're carrying around this heavy gun.
Do the chest panel things vibrate?
No, but they do, you know, light up and make sounds and everything like
Man,
that.
Man, that's not even as good as Q's are.
But the your gun has a clip, and it has 150 rounds per clip. So when you run out of ammo, you actually have to replace the clip.
That's
the
fucking sweet.
It is pretty cool.
You just pop the clip out and pop it back in?
No, you actually have to go get another clip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually do like a zombie thing too, where they have like people walking around this maze with like headbands on.
Okay.
Then you have to shoot the headbands, and that's what takes out the zombies. And if you get too close, the headband activates your chest piece, so it's like you get bit by the zombie.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
And do they give you a headband?
I don't know if it goes that far. I wasn't really paying attention. Because by the end, like after the 90-minute session, I was just like...
You're actually running? There's no running allowed.
Yeah, that's what they say. There's no running allowed, but whatever. I just kept on shooting the little fat kids. Like, take that, you little fat kid.
You're very cruel.
I am. A very cruel and unusual guy. But yeah, it was fun. It was like, I think it ended up being, it was like $30 for 90 minutes, which is not bad. And, you know, I mean, the place was kind of like a death trap in a lot of ways. But
nice.
Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language.
Now you're speaking my language. One final Kickstarter thing. Blood Rage. Have you seen Blood Rage?
Blood Rajay, is that the Viking game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks pretty nice. Mm. It's supposedly going to be crossing over with the Conan board game. Little Timmy Lyson got
Conan, the mightiest warrior ever.
Yes. Little Timmy Lyson got the Conan Kickstarter, so I get to play with all of his figures.
Nice.
When he gets it. But yeah, they actually have some like really sweet looking figures for this Blood
Tim
Rage.
Is someone who really likes Conan.
He does love Conan.
Yep.
Wait, shh. Sad time in Conan's life.
I remember when Josh threw the Conan CD into the fucking, like, the island in the middle of the Games Workshop store. That was the fucking saddest day in Conan's life.
Saddest day in Conan's life. But then they got an iPad, an iPod, so it was all different. No, but they actually just released a figure.
Hey, think about that. We had a CD player.
Yeah, a multi-disc CD player.
Yeah, a multi-disc CD player at the bunker. Man.
CD changer in there and everything.
That's right.
And it would be a constant fight.
I remember I made Tim fucking laugh his balls off when the Pirates of the Caribbean song came on once while we were cleaning after the store was closed. And it just started, like, rolling around, like, over fucking, like, stools and shit across one of the tables. And while the song was going, I was also going, dun, 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 dun. He did not maintain composure at all.
No.
It was pretty funny.
Oh God! If I had to hear Band of Brothers one more time, I swear to God, I would have punched a hole in some drywall.
I say that the best part about working at Games Workshop was the not actually working at Games Workshop.
Oh yeah,
but being there and hanging out with most of the workshop guys.
Yeah, and that job would have been great if it wasn't for the customers.
Yes, that's right. Good damn wiener kids and upper management
and upper management
and upper management, especially the upper management.
Yeah. Blood Rage, actually has, there's figures for the Asgardian gods, so you get Thor and Odin and Loki. Yeah.
I throw out my vote, just if you're thinking of kickstarting this and not going to purchase Fire and Axe, I would say you should purchase Fire and Axe and not kickstart this game.
Well, Fire and Axe is the cool minigame, right?
IDW.
IDW, okay.
Yes, it's a remake of a game that's been out of print for a while,
yeah,
with updated components, parts, etc. And the game that's out of print is going for like 240 bones on Amazon.
Yeah,
And has sold for higher on eBay before.
What's this one called? Blood and Axe?
It's called Fire and Axe.
I prefer Blood and Axe.
Yeah. I would suggest Fire and Axe first, because this game kind of like, I saw this game pop up and I was like, oh, huh, looks like someone was in when they were talking about bringing Fire and Axe back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because Blood Rage is cool mini. Okay. So, okay.
Yeah, because it's Cool Mini's thing. They make games that are copies of games. Sometimes even their own.
Sometimes even their own. Yeah. Well, are you kidding me? How many copies of Love Letter are out there right now? Love Letter, Munchkin.
There's actually a brand new edition of Love Letter launching this week, which is Love Letter the Hobbit. And next week, Love Letter the Batman.
Ooh. I'd play that just for being Batman.
You would.
Can I play it like this?
No, it's the Arkham Asylum Batman, the Ooh. Video game one, so it's got to be Kevin Conroy.
Not quite the
ultimate Batman.
I was reading my daughter a Batman story for bedtime the other night, and I was reading Batman like Christian Bale, and she's like, she just looks at me and goes, why are you doing Batman like that? Why does Batman talk like that? And I'm like, well, that's how Batman talks. She's like, that's not how Batman talks. I'm like, oh.
Even your kid knows you're an idiot.
We are the super friends. It's really terrifying to do Batman that way. Oh,
different
man.
Bane. Bane is forever going to be the fucking like weird like Eastern European sort of accent.
Yes, Batman.
You know, he's the turtle from the Neverending Story. Yes.
Morla.
We are so tired.
Go
Batman.
Away.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that
Atreyu!
Artex! Don't give in to the swamp, Artex!
Turn around. Tell me what you see. Na 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 na.
What was I watching? Was it that? Oh, fucking Teen Titans Go.
Yes, where they're flying on the giant silky.
Yes, the fucking silky thing. I'm like, why do they have a never-ending story reference in a fucking brand new cartoon?
One of my favorite bits on that is...
And then We're Rich, did you see that part? Where Robin, that's the same episode. Robin, Cyborg, and Beast Boy get the check for $160 trillion dollars from Killer Moth, and it does. They're like, what do we do with the rich? And I'm like, I don't know. Who's the coolest rich person we know? And they're like, Scrooge McDuck. And it just goes fucking. We're rich. Da-da-da. We've got lots of money. We're rich. Da-da-da. I never knew you could swim in money. We're rich.
There's a lot of like good references. Cyborg on that show. Like constantly references Small Wonder, and he's like always complaining about it. Like, why are they making him live in it? Like, make her live in the closet.
And he talked about VHS too.
Yeah,
he's like, you guys don't know what a VHS is. And they're like, no. And he's like, well, it was vastly inferior to the Betamax.
Yeah, that show is.
It has moments.
It has moments. It's hit and miss a lot of times.
It's so weird. Like, yeah. It's the first time they've done a really like straight up goofy DC show. Yeah. Other than like unintentionally, like the Super Friends, Brave and the Bold was goofy, but Brave and the Bold was like a
tongue in cheek.
You're right. It was like they had Diedrich Bader doing Batman.
Come with me, we shall explore the oceans.
And they used all the best thing about it is they used all of the like shittiest fucking DC characters.
Shit tier DC,
just the worst.
Yeah, let's be honest. Most DC is kind of shit tier.
I mean, no more than Marvel.
I don't know. Marvel's done a lot to really up their game on a lot of that.
Come on.
Aside from like the Justice League members and a few other ones,
all of the contemporary characters for both companies are at the same.
Yeah.
About. Like if you want to talk like embarrassing characters, I don't know if you could beat the Hispanic guy that Marvel introduced as one of the X-Men. I can't remember if it was. He might have been a different comic, but he talked very ethnic and was like the most 90s possible character. And he's like, essay,
I read a lot of comics in the 90s. Everything is embarrassing that came out of that
decade. I'll try to find. I think he's definitely the most embarrassing comics character.
As I like to say, the 90s. What a shrill and pointless decade.
But he brought a Spawn. He's super cool. He's got chains.
He works for the devil. Then he becomes the devil.
He's not the devil. It's Malbolgia.
Malbolgia.
The devil also exists separate from Malbolgia. Idiot. How do you not even know anything about Spawn? Next, you're going to tell me you don't know who the Redeemer is.
The Redeemer.
He's like a good guy, Spawn. He's not actually a good guy, Spawn, because he's also a very evil person.
I was a big fan of Spawn back when they had to retcon taking out the characters from Youngblood because of the falling out between Todd McFarlane and Rob Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld. Oh, man.
Rob Liefeld, the guy who can't draw feet.
Can't draw feet. He also can't draw anything remotely resembling the commonly accepted heroic proportions of a comic book character.
He can't draw.
Did you see his Captain America?
Yeah, I've seen his Captain America.
It just looks like a brick. He's like, I want to draw this brick.
Oh, God.
Maybe he just has like some sort of horrible condition, and that's how he sees people.
Everything that came out of the 90s is terrible. Everything. Biker Mice from Mars.
Oh, dude, Biker Mice from Mars is the jam. You take that back.
Battle
Biker
Toads.
Mice from Mars.
Oh, dude. I blame the downfall of civilization on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Power Rangers.
Why you gotta be hating on the Biker Mice from Mars?
Because they lived in the scoreboard of Wrigley Field, man.
They were Wrigley Field. They were in Detroit.
No, they were in Chicago.
They weren't in Chicago. They were in Detroit. They were in the Motor City.
Are you sure?
Yep, 100%.
Okay, I'll give it to you. All right.
That's the one I actually watched. I actually think I watched more Biker Mice from Mars than Ninja Turtles.
I watched Ninja Turtles, but, I don't know. I can't think about it right now. It's making my head hurt.
Well, because like I said, my big thing is, like, when the Ninja Turtles were super popular, like, I watched the Turtles, obviously. I was a kid
well,
in the
80s. Did, yeah.
But, like, for me, I always was a bigger fan of the real Ghostbusters. That was my, like, super sweet. And Egon's fucking, like, insane, out of control.
Pompadour.
Yeah. Fucking swirly-ass Pompadour. It's fucking hype.
It's fucking hype.
It's fucking hype. Dude, if I ever saw someone with that hair, I think I might just give them money. Be like, here, keep doing that with your hair. Forever.
Just take my money. Just take my money and run.
Yeah, take my money. Keep doing that with your hair, please.
So, the only other thing I wanted to say is that I know Wizards right now is pushing.
I'm going to grab my coffee.
Oh, great. Thanks. Shit, I wasn't recording when that happened.
They said it was the Motor City.
Well, that it was all they were living in the scoreboard of Wrigley Field.
They came from a planet that was fucked up by these evil motherfuckers.
The fish guy.
And
yeah.
They landed in Chicago.
Yeah. See.
Really.
The bad guy's name is like
Limburger. Yeah,
Steve.
He's a fish guy.
Steve,
who eats worms.
Steve, apology accepted.
I was defeated. I was defeated, yo.
And you were all like, I watched Biker Mice from
Mars. I did.
I know my Biker Mice.
I could have fucking sworn they always said they were in the Motor City.
Well, Wizards right now is previewing the next big set.
You got me on that one.
Yeah. They're previewing the next big set for D&D 5th.
No, I'm sad. I'm forgetting my childhood.
Ludo sad. They're doing the what is it? The Princes of the Apocalypse, whatever it's called, the Four Horsemen.
Princes of the Universe. Yeah, they canceled the Temple of Elemental Evil adventure book.
Isn't that part of the Temple of Elemental Evil? Like it's like a.
Yeah, they were gonna do separate books, I guess, and now they're just doing one book. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they're doing all the figures and everything from it. I don't think they're really canceling it. I don't know what's going on with that, but because it's actually been a while since the D&D release, which is kind of weird. I don't know, quite know. But however, at the RPG auction, I was talking about how unimpressive the mini auction was this time. The
RPG auction was sweet?
The RPG, well, because what they do is they do fantasy and sci-fi auction. So they take all the board games, RPG stuff that's fantasy and sci-fi, and they kind of put it all together. So that way they can get, like, they can do all the historical games on a night, and they do all the family games on a night. So it's you don't have to worry about... You know, Connect Four showing up at the same time. You know, it's like you could separate the two if you want.
I mean, that's where I'm going to the Games I was auction for to buy fucking Connect Four.
Dude, people go nuts at the, like, well, now it's like a Euro game auction. That's kind of what they call it. So it's like all of, like, Settlers of Catan. That one is huge now.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking with
Settlers of Catan. Fuck Settlers of Catan.
I know. Well, I'm just.
Are you going to be first in line to watch the movie?
Oh, hell yeah. I shall trade the sheep for wood.
Oh no, the bandit.
The bandit. He's in my desert.
So stupid.
But the RPG auction, I got a bunch of good D&D stuff. I got some Dark Sun. I got some Dragonlance. I'm almost done collecting all the Dark Sun. I almost have an entire Dark Sun collection. I'll run you through all of Dark Sun, Steve. We'll do a solo adventure. What do you say?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, all right. So that's all like the gaming news they have. I mean, we could always just talk about how Battlefront and Dust are fighting again, but...
Oh, I figured it out. I had to look. Okay, here's why I thought they were from Detroit.
Oh, Jesus.
Limburger's chief Plutarchian rival is Napoleon Bree. He's from Detroit. So there is an episode where they go, like a multi-part episode where they go to Detroit. So okay. That's what I remembered.
Okay. Just try and justify your failure.
No. There's no justification. I was totally wrong. I'm forgetting my childhood. I understand that.
I'm slowly dying inside.
Yes, I'm slowly dying inside. But there you go. I never played the Super Nintendo game. I'm glad I didn't. I probably would have destroyed my love for the franchise.
I can't believe you have a love for that franchise.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Like, it's like...
It was just so weird. It was fucking... They're giant anthropomorphic mice with fucking Martian antennas. That's fucking hilarious.
That doesn't bother me. It's like, I have difficulty with people who like really, really like Power Rangers or Pokemon. Those are the two things I don't understand.
Well, like the cartoons?
Well, people who really like Pokemon, just in general, it's like... That's so...
I mean, I really like Pokemon.
I know, but I don't get it at all. I literally see Pokemon, and I'm like...
The cartoon's awful.
Well, I'm just like the cartoon, the video games, the card games, everything involved with Pokemon. Like the, I don't. It's not like I say.
Did you ever have Monster in My Pocket?
No,
you didn't. Did you ever have Muscle Men?
I did, but I mean,
Muscle.
But I never like got. I did have those and like Battle Beasts.
Yeah, Battle Beasts. It's kind of the same thing.
I know, but the way that people become so obsessive with Pokemon, that's what I don't get.
Well, they're just a super fan. Anyone who is a super fan of something does that. They're like ridiculous. Like someone who's like got a gigantic boner for fucking Doctor Who, they'll have fucking Daleks and fucking TARDIS boxes all over the place.
But I don't understand that either. But Pokemon,
I'm saying, you don't understand super fans. That's what you don't understand.
I guess it's just like, why do you dedicate? Do you have? Is there nothing else out there that you're?
So it is. You don't understand a super fan.
Pokemon's weird.
I also don't do the super fan of one thing.
Yeah.
Like that. Like personally, I just don't do that. Like I think there's a lot of cool stuff, and I don't need to dedicate to one thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
If I had to pick, though, I would choose the Aliens franchise.
That's good.
If I had to choose only one thing, I would choose the Aliens franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I could choose anything to be like a super
you
fan.
Have to.
Okay, if I did, probably at this point Game of Thrones is what I'd say. But Game of Thrones is so new.
Also a solid choice.
Yeah, well, Game of Thrones...
It doesn't have a pedigree, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have like a long pedigree. I mean, it kind of does. I mean, the books have been around since the 90s.
Right. They're just available content. I heard they're going to extend the show.
Yeah, they want to extend a couple seasons. Yeah.
I don't know if they said they're... I hope they're not going to fluff it up. I heard they're going to just carry the story on after...
That'd be weird.
Yeah. Well, you know they're going to change they're doing the ultimate troll. They're going to kill characters in the show that are still alive in the books.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is awesome because anyone who they try to talk to me about the books of Game of Thrones, I vehemently deny anything they say unless it's exactly replicated in the TV show. So I'm like, no. So like if like, you know, say like, I don't know, fucking like Tyrion gets like shot in the face in the show, like season 7. Everyone's like, no, Tyrion's dead, and he's still alive in the books. And people will be like, well, Tyrion actually, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He's dead. Like, how did that happen? Tyrion died. Is it his ghost? Is there, wait, what? Just fucking deny it.
It's like, I don't know. But that's like,
that's one of my biggest fucking, like, one of the biggest things that puts me on tilt is when people talk about, like, even like I'll use anime as an example because I'm a fucking huge anime nerd. I fucking can't stand it when people are like, well, in the manga, this happened. It's like, unless I ask you what happened in the manga, don't fucking tell me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like spoiling Game of Thrones at all. Like, people who like come up to me, they're like, you read them all. What happens with this? I'm like, I don't want to tell you because I don't want to spoil anything.
It's not even the spoiling thing. It's like, I don't give a fuck about the differences. I'm not into those
books.
Well,
that's you, but I'm saying, like,
I'm super interested in the show, but that's it. That's where my interest in Game of Thrones ends.
Yeah. I still say you should read the books. The books are fun. The books are good.
Who's got time to read? Yeah. I ain't got time to watch all these TV shows.
Got to watch some Gumball, some Steven Universe.
Dude, Steven Universe is fucking good.
Yeah, gotta watch some regular show.
Steven Universe gets you right in the feels, man.
Does it get you right in the feels?
Gets you right in the feels. I dare anyone to watch that show from beginning to end and not get hit in the feels at least once.
At least once. Yeah. Well, you just like it because you're just a grown-up version of Steven.
It's true.
Yes.
And I do like hot dogs.
And fry bits. The amount of cartoons I watch with my kid is just ridiculous. Like, I don't
Hey, Fry-bo. I want a Fry-bo costume. Just do the fucking dance. Do the Fry-bo dance.
Oh, man. But the, actually, I was at a, you know how I normally, I'll talk about, like, my big D&D scores I get from, like, half-price books? I was at one the other day, and I saw a copy of Storm of Swords, the third book in the Game of Thrones series.
Hardcover?
It was hardcover.
Ooh.
It was an original printing, and I, like, my hand trembled as I went towards it, and I opened it. Because it's one of the few ones I'm missing, and it had the original cover, the first printing cover. I opened it up, and it said, and I just looked at it, it said, first edition inside. I was like, I must have. And I was, like, holding it, clutching it to my chest, making sure no one saw my winnings. And I went up to the front, and I paid for it. I tipped my fedora and said, thank you, m'lady. And then I went back to my car. But I was very excited about my first edition Sword of Swords. Storm of Swords.
I'm pretty sure that was actually a Trilby.
A Trilby.
Sorry, guys. It was a golem. Sorry.
It was a golem.
I thought it was a goblin, but it was a golem. Sorry. Next round of Mountain Dew's on me, guys. Sorry. Tried to cast a spell. Didn't work because it's a golem. Sorry. Sorry, my mistake.
Should have used fire. Why didn't I use fire?
Fire wouldn't work. It's a stone golem.
Oh, not a flesh golem. I'm sorry.
We're all totally bones. Take this party's going straight to the bone zone. And not the good bone zone. The bad bone zone where you get boned. Not where you bone. Where are the Fritos?
Mom! I heard y'all are going to play the Dungeons & Dragons.
I finally got a chance to sit down and actually read the free adventure from like 2 or 3 years ago from Lamentations of the Fire Princess, Better Than Any Man.
Yeah.
It's free. You can download the PDF for freezies because it was for a free RPG day.
Ooh, for freezies.
Apparently the book is kind of hard to find and a little pricey, I guess, if you try and find the physical copy because the hard copy is really sweet and it's really big. I think it was the biggest book on free RPG day. It's fucking awesome. It is fucking sweet. Like, it's really, really awesome. I don't want to spoil it in case anyone ever wants to run it, but I really like there's a couple things about the book that are really good. One, he's very candid when in his writing, so he'll be like give the players here the enemies in this here are level zero wearing robes with dagger type enemies. You know, give the players a little break after they've been shit on for most of this campaign.
Nice.
And that's how he writes, you know, a lot of his stuff. He's like if the players do something really stupid, punish them severely with this.
Nice.
And I really like that, like his candid writing style, and it's like super detailed. And the thing about Lamentations is it's supposed to be a horror game, like a weird, it's called weird fantasy, but it's basically just horror. And it's fucking dangerous. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's like if you want every game to kind of have like a Temple of Elemental Evil or not
Tomb of Horrors.
Tomb of Horrors kind of feel, where like every step may be your last. Lamentations of Flame Princess is where it's at. There's a lot of shit like that. And it's cool because it's very even-handed, whereas like exploring may be awesome. Like, you may find a really sweet treasure, or you may be killed.
You may die.
You know, it's very Lovecraftian in that way. It's like, you know, are you delving too deep or just deep enough?
Yes. Chaosium.
Yeah, so I highly recommend Lamentations of the Fire Princess.
Yeah, I don't think
Better Than Any Man.
I mean, you're a big supporter of the Lamentations of the
Right. I'd never read any of the adventures, though. I only saw the system and, like, the overarching, like, hey, this is a game. Now that I finally got that adventure, because that was when, like, there was a huge buzz about it.
I like, you know...
It's really good. You could have read it to D&D as well.
I've told you about this before, that I kind of like the idea of just going with adventure modules. Like, it's fun.
Depending on your system, it would be really good. I think for, like, Lamentations and games of that style... It's actually very good because you can, like, the adventures are deadly. It's kind of like an old age, like AD&D.
Yeah.
Like, adventures are deadly. So doing a module, your characters might all just be dead before it's over.
Well, yeah, and it's also you know, if you also find a writer that's really good, like someone you really like, Maybe not Gary Gygax as much, because his adventures were always kind of like...
Gygax was like, he's like, then we're going to do this, and there's going to be owlbears, and then there's going to be six wizards, and the seven gems of Gadabok. Like, right. Gary, this book literally has every god in it.
Gary, so what's going on with the game tonight?
Two words for you. Greyhawk. Oh, God damn it.
I mean, to be fair, he did do Tomb of Horrors.
He did.
And he did Tomb of Horrors because players were complaining that all of his previous source books were too easy.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then everyone bitched about Tomb of Horrors.
The D&D stuff, it finally loaded on my iPad. It's Princes of the Apocalypse, and it is the four apocalyptic cults of elemental evil are building secret sanctuaries and outposts throughout the north, bringing terror and destruction to the Forgotten Realms.
Born to be
I like
kings.
How they put that on there, to the Forgotten Realms.
Well, yeah, everything's got to be Forgotten Realms.
Well, not only that, but you see like all these like the D&D guys are just like, rise to flip table, urge to flip table, rising, rising.
I'll throw it out there. I think Forgotten Realms is the weakest of the D&D campaign settings.
Yeah. What I like...
It's only really popular because of fucking Dritz Duwerden.
I don't think that's the only reason, but...
Also Elminster. I'll give you a little bit there.
Well, I think you could... I don't know. I think there's no reason to say that on the entire planet...
Ooh, the video games, too. That's a big thing.
The entire planet that D&D takes place on, you could have multiple realms, multiple Forgotten Realms.
Well, it's a multiverse.
Yeah.
That's what, like, Forgotten Realms and Dark Sun exist in the same multiverse. Yeah. So you could bring your characters from Dark Sun to Forgotten Realms, vice versa, so on and so forth.
Using Planescape.
Bazooper.
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 See guy wearing flash t-shirt, walk up to him and say, hey, I really like that Sheldon character.
Sheldon.
Bazooper, huh?
Bazooper. Chaz Topper, huh?
He goes on tilt. Anybody won't say anything because he knows that he can't actually catch you, even though he's wearing a flash t-shirt with irony.
I think it's because it's such a huge departure from Greyhawk. That's why people really liked Forgotten Realms.
Greyhawk.
But like, I don't know, like fucking.
I'm a big supporter of Birthright.
What?
The Birthright campaign. Maybe Hollow Earth.
Is Birthright in a different world?
It's a different campaign system altogether.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very, very medieval. It doesn't matter. If I'm playing anything, I'm playing Spelljammer. So
Spelljammer. Spelljammer would have been a wicked 80s cartoon.
We've gone over this a thousand times.
I don't know
times.
Why they didn't just do that for the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
And Acrobat.
And Spelljammer. Anyway, so that's about it for today. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. Like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. Also on the iTunes, the best way to help the podcast.
You should get that those archives up on YouTube.
I got spring break coming up in a couple weeks, so nice. I might do that.
Spring break, you're back uploading all those YouTube videos.
Spring break! Also, once again, we still have the contest open up, running probably until, I don't know, about 2 weeks before C2E2. You have to describe.
Have we had any entrants?
Yeah, one or two. I just didn't want to like call it on one or two, so that's why I'm leaving it open for a little bit. For your free two pairs of tickets to C2E2, you know, that's like a friggin' $70 value right there. You'll be able to go in lots of guests. You can get all the guest information at C2E2.com. You can also buy your tickets actually through planetarbitrary.com if you're going on C2E2 just for a day or something like that.
Nice.
But if you're even just going for a day, enter the contest so you can win your free tickets. Yeah. Also go to our Reddit, our Game Classy. And do I have anything else that I need to add? Sorry, James, for our email my Planet Arbitrary email is not forwarding to my regular email address for some odd reason or another, so I always miss his emails.
This is not professional.
I'm the least professional human being on this planet.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah. So Steve, until the next recording.
So Star Realms is a game I've talked about a couple times. It's a deck building game.
We're a big fan of Star Realms.
There's a digital app.
Oh, this is one where you're keeping track of how high you're ranking.
Yeah, it ranks the top 1,000.
All right, Steve. So what's your ranking?
All right, we're bringing it up now. I was trying to bring it up earlier, but my fucking phone
your Wi-Fi is kind of shitty right now.
My phone was having some problems. Yeah. I think I need to reset my router.
Star Realms.
So it's only ranks the top 1,000. So every other person I know who plays is not even on the top 1,000.
Top 1,000,
which is hype. And I'm like, yes. Fuck, it's fetching. Whatever. The last I checked, I was 225.
225.
Yes.
How come you're not 224?
I'll probably be there when it next calculates.
What about 223?
I don't know. I've been jumping up pretty fast. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know how it's calculated. But I do know that I'll never be number one because the number one guy is level 40. I am level 13.
Okay.
To give you an idea of the kind of scope of that, the level two guy is 7 levels lower than the level one guy. And the way you acquire levels in this game is when you get to level, like, say you're at level 10. If you want to get to level 11, you need to win 11 games sequentially. So if you lose a game, it subtracts a win and sends you and de-levels you. So you have to win 11 times, and then that puts you at level 11, which gives you 0 out of 12 wins to progress to 12. And then you have to win 12 games sequentially. If you lose one, you lose a win every time. So that guy has probably played 4,000 plus games of Star Realms.
Do you think he just plays against himself on multiple platforms?
You see, that's what I thought. I was like, maybe this guy just fucking juiced his numbers. But you can't do that because there's a threshold for levels. I don't know what it is. But when I play against some of the guys at my work, because they're all low levels, like Scrub Lords, I body them super quickly, and I don't get a win for that. So there is some sort of threshold. So you can't just like get an account and like challenge your old account and concede a bunch of times. So he actually just got there, which means he's probably the best Star Realms player ever.
Or
he's just been playing the longest.
So until next time, Steve,
send me a challenge on Star Realms.
There you go.
Game Classy.